Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode of Living Loud Outdoors. On the mic with you from the back porch. We're out in God's country today, just enjoying a beautiful overcast day in Oklahoma. It's springtime. Spring is in the air. Things are starting to green up and grow. We've got a bulldozer operating in the background, so you'll just have to bear with that noise if you can hear it. So, man, I've had my mind's on so many things lately. Mainly on one, how desperate we are for a place of truth. Our society is so twisted out of shape. It's not surprising because it's biblical. The Word of God explains it very great detail where we are in these last days, and I do believe we are in these last days. And in the process of it, as I actually put a couple of different messages together today. I spend a lot of time studying right now. I really can't do a whole lot else with my physical condition. Still having some problems there with my back. And so I've just been in the Word. I've been spending time with the Lord and trying to sort out where I am in life. You know, I mean, I'm struggling through some things just like anybody else, trying to figure out what my next steps are and where my next steps are ordered. And I know who orders my next steps. So I'm trying desperately to keep my eyes on Him, stay focused. And something that came to my mind today was, why are so many Christians, so many who claim Christianity, why are we living a ho-hum lifestyle? Just kind of a whatever comes our way spiritual life. And I catch myself in this at times. I've actually caught myself in this. Is what kind of prompted to this message is I've caught myself kind of living in a woe is me moment. Really struggling with where I am physically, really struggling with where I am financially, emotionally. Rhonda and I talked a little bit last night. She was just trying to dig in a little bit as to what's going on, you know, what's in my mind, what am I thinking, and I'm struggling. That's raw and right out in the open. This is a difficult time in my life. It's a difficult time in her life as well, as we battle through different things with our physical bodies and just trying to sort out, God, where do you want us? We fully believe we're right where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be doing, but yet it's requiring great faith on our part to really keep our focus. And at times, I lose my focus, and which I have just recently. And so it brought me to this point of what I titled, I guess, today, Boring Christianity. And walk through this life, of course, I'm walking in an evangelistic realm. I'm walking in a ministerial realm. You know, I'm preaching a message every single day. I have for over 2 years now. I mean, that's amazing to me to think that God's put something on my heart and my mind for every day for the last 2+ years. That's incredible to me. I mean, being in ministry, I had to preach a message, you know, be prepared every Wednesday night for youth ministry. And oftentimes I would be called upon to preach a Sunday message. And now, you know, as an evangelistic realm, I travel and I speak at different events, but those events are few and far between, and you can prep for messages. And actually I use some of the same messages, different events that we go to, the duck call sermon, things of that nature. But to have something prepared every single day, every day, to bring something from the Lord that's significant and that's impactful. That's where I've been. So when I talk about boring Christianity, what I'm talking about is as I walk out this lifestyle of ministry and I walk in fellowship with other believers, other followers of Jesus Christ, and some are fired up, some are excited. I've got a few buddies that preach the Word on social media or they preach in churches and man, they're bringing powerful messages and they post things throughout the week that are powerfully strong. And my buddy Bubba Rutherford down in Texas, the cattle guy, he's always posting something very challenging and real. And, you know, so there are those, but the majority of us as followers of Christ have a tendency to live a boring Christianity. Why are we so boring? Why are we living a ho-hum spiritual lifestyle? We go to church on Sunday, right? Sunday morning anyway. Not many go Sunday nights anymore, and even fewer go on a Wednesday to maybe a Bible study or whatever. Maybe we pray over a meal now and then, especially if we've got company, right? I mean, especially if there's guests around, or maybe we go out to dinner with the preacher and we pray over the meal at the restaurant, you know, but we don't do that all the time. Why? It's just a good question. Now some might read scripture every now and then, or maybe you do a daily Devo, or maybe you're in a Bible study with a group of people, so you're getting in the Word a little bit. Maybe we listen to a podcast every so often, or maybe even every day. Maybe it's mine. I don't know. I hope. But our spiritual life really isn't that exciting. There just seems to be no real fire. And sometimes there's not even a spark that can be seen in our spiritual life, in our Christian walk. Shouldn't it be exciting? I mean, I think about my own life and I'm thinking, man, God's done so many things for me. He's blessed me in so many ways. He's brought me through so many things. He's helped me through so many challenges. Sure, I've got questions and sure, I've got concerns about certain things in life, but God's done so much. And I walk in His presence and I see what He's done. I sit out here in His creation and I think, oh my goodness, what an amazing God. What an awesome God that we serve. I mean, it should be exciting, right? We've entered into a relationship with God on the universe, the God of the universe, right? The God who created all things. I mean, we're in that relationship, right? But maybe that's the whole issue right there. Maybe we don't really understand the relationship that we're in, or the relationship that we should have with the Creator of the universe. See, when we surrender to Jesus, when we confess our sin and asking His forgiveness and believing in Him as our Savior and our Lord, it's not just a simple contract agreement that we negotiate or file away in the file cabinet. We enter into a covenant relationship. Now see, a contract is a transaction. A covenant is a relationship. Here's some fundamental differences. While a contract is legally binding, a covenant is a spiritual agreement. A contract is an agreement between parties, while a covenant is a pledge. A covenant is an agreement you can't break, while a covenant is a perpetual promise. A contract is an agreement that you can break, but a covenant is a perpetual promise. What is exactly entailed in our covenant relationship with God? A proper covenant relationship with God requires five major things, five experiences. One, our faith. Faith in Jehovah God and Jesus Christ. Faith being complete trust or confidence in something or someone. This is the place of surrender. This is where we recognize our need for a Savior, and we recognize that Jesus is our only hope. He is our Savior. Secondly, repentance of sin. Repentance in Christianity means a sincere turning away in both mind and heart from ourself to God. So it's a 180. It's turning away from us, putting our mind on God. It involves a change of mind that leads to an action, the radical turning away from a sinful course and turning to a holy God. A person who is truly repentant recognizes God the Father as the most important factor of his or her existence. This is where we understand the need to turn away from our sinful nature, to turn to Jesus as our Savior, asking for forgiveness of our sin, agreeing to follow Him wholeheartedly. Thirdly, we come to confession of our sin. Confession is a formal admittance of guilt. It's an admittance of our sinful nature, our sinful heart. This is where we confess our sins. God already knows our sin. But we are to confess them. We're to make them open up inside of us and confess our sins unto God. And then we become clean before a holy God, asking Him to wash us in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Fourth, baptism. Pretty simple, right? Water baptism is an outward display of an inward crucifixion. It's a complete immersion, symbolizing publicly our dying to our old way of life, becoming buried with Christ in death and raised to new life, washed clean in His resurrection. Water baptism is very important. it's something that really symbolizes for us the act of repentance, the act of our faith, the act of our confessing. It boils it all into a place. So those four are pretty good, right? I mean, we all pretty much have those. Fifth, obedience. Oh, wait. This may very well be where we're failing in this relationship thing. Up till now, we've covered all the bases. We've got 1 through 4 down pat. It reminds me of the story of the rich young ruler that Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 22. It's a very popular story. It's one of my favorites. This, listen to what it says. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 22, and it says, "And someone came to him and said, 'Teacher, what essentially good thing shall I do to obtain eternal life?'" That is, eternal salvation in the Messiah's kingdom. Jesus answered, "Why are you asking me about what is essentially good? There is only one who is essentially good, but if you wish to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments." He said to Jesus, "Which commandments?" And Jesus answered him, "You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. The young man said to him, "I've kept all these things from my youth. What do I still lack?" So Jesus answered him, "If you wish to be perfect," that is, have the spiritual maturity that accompanies godly character with no moral or ethical deficiencies, "go sell what you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me, becoming my disciple, believing and trusting in me and walking the same path of life that I walk." But when the young man heard this, he left grieving and distressed, for he owned much property and had many possessions, which he treasured more than his relationship with God. This dude had 1 through 4 in his pocket. He was keeping the law, right? I mean, most of us keep the law. That's not hard to do. We've kept the law. That's basically 1 through 4. And he's adhering to those laws since he was a kid. Some of us have done the same. But that number five caused him some trouble. But number five is the key to walking in a covenant relationship and living on an abundant, exciting life in Christ. When we understand and accept that effective operation of all five of these features of walking in relationship to Christ becomes a necessity, then we can walk in a genuine sense of conversion, no longer being a part of this world. We have to be in this world, but we don't have to be a part of this world because we're born again. We're heirs to a kingdom that's higher than this place. In making this surrender to Christ, we've got to come to a realization that we may face severe trials, hard persecution, and it'll come from the world that we live in, even to the extent of possibly physical death. It doesn't happen much here in America, but it does happen around our world where people are martyred because of their faith in Christ. Worst of all, the deceptive evil temptation of indifference and spiritual lethargy. Do you know what that word is, lethargy? It's a lack of energy and enthusiasm. Remember what I talked about being boring Christians, living a boring Christian life? This lethargy, this lack of energy and enthusiasm, this period of weakness and lethargy, it's a pathological state of sleepiness or a deep unresponsive and an unresponsiveness and inactivity. That's a dangerous place to be as a Christian, in a place of inactivity, in a place of unresponsiveness to the presence or the Spirit of the Lord, to having this state of sleepiness or this lack of energy or enthusiasm when it comes to our life with Christ, periods of weakness. But the Christian can retain an inward strength and peace by full surrender to Jesus Christ. In full surrender, that means keeping all five parts, not just 1 through 4. That obedience thing has to come into play in a real way in our lives. Think about this. The two on the road to Emmaus that asked Jesus when they ran into Jesus, this is after his resurrection. I didn't put the scripture reference in here for this, but it's the two guys are walking, they're coming away from the day that Jesus had risen from the dead. No one knows what's happened to him. There's still a lot of confusion. They're on their way. They're on the road to Emmaus. They're going home, basically. They're walking home. And Christ walks up to them. They don't even recognize him. But they ask him, dude, it's getting late in the day. He said it's toward evening and the day was far spent. In other words, we're almost to the end of the day. Why don't you just come and hang out with us tonight? Stay with us. Have dinner with us. Today, we're living in that closing day of this age. We're living in a day far spent. Our time here is short. You look around the things of the Bible, the prophecies of the Bible are being fulfilled left and right. Many that are needed for the end of time to come have already come and gone. Here we are in these end of times, these end days. We're seeing the chaos of the world that's talked about throughout the entire Bible. Today we're living in the closing days of this age, in a day far spent. And we should realize that Christ's return is near, and he's coming for judgment on this earth. Christ in us is our hope of glory. It's by choosing his obedience, by putting number 5 in our pocket with 1 through 4, that covenant relationship becomes our passion. We're his people. You understand that? When we surrender to Christ, we become heirs of the King. We become family, and we've got an inheritance with God, the creator of the universe. Jesus promised to abide with his people until the end. We're not walking this out alone. We're not dealing with these things alone. And we can rest assured that he'll keep his promises. God's promises are yes and amen. He will keep his promises. He's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to leave us stranded. I don't understand many of the things that we walk through in this life. I don't understand many of the things I walk through in this life. But one thing I am not going to be is a boring Christian. I'm going to live my life in joy. I'm going to live my life with passion, knowing that it's my time to speak the truth of the Lord. That's our goal. That's what he's given us to do. We're not to walk through this earth sitting on a bump looking like a pickle. I mean, that's just not what he's designed us to do. We are designed to be his ministers here on this earth, speaking his word of truth, being the voice of Jesus Christ, walking the path that he walked, walking in his footsteps, living a life according to God's word in obedience to God's holy word. That word obedience becomes the most important part of everything we are as a follower of Christ. I don't even like using the word Christian anymore because everybody calls themselves a Christian and it's just a label. I want to be a follower of Christ. I don't want to be a label. I want to be recognized for what I'm doing, and I'm following Jesus Christ to the best of my ability. I stumble and fall from time to time. Many of us will. Most of us will. But what does he tell us to do? Rise up. Dust yourself off. Get back in his word. Ask for forgiveness if necessary. But continue on the path. But continue with an excitement. Get fired up for what God's doing in this world today. Get your eyes off the nastiness going on and get your eyes on what he's promised. We're living in the days of his promise right now. Get excited about your relationship with Christ and what he has called you to do, what he's offering for you right now, this relationship, this covenant relationship. It's not a contract. I do marriage counseling before I marry a couple, and I've come to this place that I talk about the difference between a covenant and a contract, because marriage is just that. It's a covenant. It's not a contract. The world treats it like a contract, but it's not. It's not an agreement that we can break when we don't like what's going on the other side. It's a covenant relationship. That's how God views marriage. It's how God views our life with him. It's how God views our relationship with him. It's not a contractual thing that can be broken or rewritten or negotiated. It's a covenant that he set in stone. We're to follow his ways in covenant relationship with him, being obedient to his word and his ways at all times, giving him everything that he requires of us, serving him to the best of our ability, walking in an excitement. Listen, I got news for you. You go up to your neighbor and say, hey, man, it's Sunday, and, you know, we got to go to church today. You want to tag along? No, that doesn't really excite me much. I'd rather go do something else. But when you come to him going, dude, you ain't going to believe what God's doing. God burning down the house. The Holy Spirit's falling. There's people getting saved. There's lives being changed. There's people getting healed. Can you imagine being in a service where that's literally your response to people? Man, there's something going on in our church. God's pouring out. The Holy Spirit's presence is there. God's presence is real. Come join us. Be excited about what God's doing in our lives. Seeking him with everything we have in us. And watch what difference it can make in the lives of those that we speak with. Whew. Okay, I'll shut up. I didn't intend to preach that long. Quit being a boring Christian. Find those five elements. The faith, the surrender, the confession of sin, that repentance, and follow it up with obedience. Get those five elements in place in your life. Quit just carrying around the four in your pocket. And dive into that number five, that obedience to the Word of God. And as we become more obedient, He becomes more real to us. And the more real to us He becomes, the more exciting our life with Him is. Amen. God bless you guys. Ron and I love you. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your financial support, your prayer support. Please continue to pray with us. Walk with us on this journey as we continue to seek out that which is lost so that they may be found. We love you. We're praying for you today. God bless you. We'll talk to you again real soon.